Dear devotees, this week I'm going to be speaking to you on the Shri Krishna Leelas that are told in the Bhagavatam. I actually began this series quite a few years ago. We had a couple of weeks where I was telling Shri Krishna's Leelas, and I'm going to continue from where we left off, even though many of you weren't there at that time. But it takes quite some time to tell all these leelas. So since these are also available online, again, someday I'll tell them again here. But for today, I'm going to continue where we left off. The leelas of the Bhagavatam, you all know, you've heard me describe about leelas before, that they are divine, eternal, omnipresently happening all the time and can be seen by any saint at any time. They're happening right here, right now. And when Shri Krishna comes on the earth planet, those Vastavi Leelas, which are always happening, they are produced as Vyavahariki Leelas, which can be seen even by those with material eyes. Nonetheless, if we were to see them at that time, we wouldn't recognize the greatness of those leelas. We would take it to be an ordinary material event because that's how it would appear to our eyes. We can't see the inner workings of what's going on within Shri Krishna, within Shri Radha, within the gopis, Gwalbals, and all the Brajwasis. So we have to take these leelas as divine. We have to take it with faith and listen to the leelas as a means of joining our mind faithfully with Shri Krishna. One of the main reasons he produces the leelas is to give us an easy way to remember him. Bhavesmin klishyamana nam avidya kama karma bhi shravana smarana arhani karishye kvachanantav. In the Bhagavatam, Brahma is telling that, oh Shri Krishna, you come here on earth to give the souls an easy way to remember you. You produce your leelas, and those souls who are so bound up in the world with their worldly attachments and duties, they find something very attractive that pulls their mind towards you because your leelas are very sweet, very beautiful, very heart-catching. So it's an easy way for people to do devotion. Knowing this, we can benefit from hearing the leelas. Whereas we would not have benefited from being physically there and participating in the leelas because we're not qualified, we don't have divine eyes, we don't have a divine mind, so we wouldn't have been qualified to participate in the leelas and actually experience the bliss of those leelas at that time. But since they've been recorded in scriptures like Srimad Bhagavat Puran by Vedavyasji, as recounted by Shukdevji when he told it to King Parikshit, we can listen to these or read these leelas and we can actually benefit from it. So that's the real reason that these leelas exist for us. One shouldn't think, oh, I wish I would have been there 5,000 years ago and seen it for myself. Actually, this is much better. Reading about it or hearing about it and just taking it faithfully and then meditating on it or using it as a way to remember Radha Krishna, that becomes the means of becoming qualified. We can join our mind to Radha and Krishna simply by hearing or thinking about these leelas, and that act of remembrance or smaran purifies our mind, and because of that, we end up becoming qualified. And with the grace of Radha Krishna and a Rasik Mahapurush, we can get divine eyes and a divine mind, and we can become qualified to enter into these divine leelas ourselves. So until then, this is one of the best upai for us. This is one of the best means of doing bhakti, is listening to the leelas. The place where I left off previously when I had been recounting Shri Krishna's leelas of the Bhagavatam was after the Govardhan Leela. So I had told you about Shri Krishna's appearance. I had told about how he grew up as a small boy. Even though he's Supreme God, he did all the leelas like a small boy. And yet, whenever required, he could behave as Almighty God. Like when he killed the demoness Putana when he was only 6 days old. A huge demoness, 12 miles tall. And Shri Krishna, 6 days old. You know how tiny a 6-day-old baby is. Shri Krishna killed her playfully. When he was just a few months old, he killed the demon Shakatasur, who was in the form of that cart. When he was 1 year old, he killed the demon Trinavart, who had come in the form of the whirlwind. As he got older, he killed Aghasur, the great snake who came to swallow him in the Gwalbals, Bakasur, the great crane, the demon in the form of the crane who came to try to swallow up Shri Krishna. He killed Dhenukasur, the demon in the form of the donkey who came to kill Shri Krishna. He killed Pralambasur, the demon who came in the form of the Gwalbal, to try to carry off Balaram and Shri Krishna, kidnap them. Or he had Balaram take care of him, actually. He swallowed up the forest fire and protected all the Brajwasis. He did that a couple of times, actually. Once with all the Brajwasis there, after he had subdued Kalyanag, which was another amazing feat. Another time he swallowed up a forest fire when only he and the Gwalbals were there. So his life was not an ordinary one in every way, but many of his leelas were performed in much the same way an ordinary small boy would behave. And those leelas are even more captivating than the ones where he's showing his almightiness by killing some demon. Because we know he's that supreme god, and yet he's crying to get into Maya's lap, or he's playing in the mud, and Maya's getting a little annoyed that she just gave him a bath and dressed him in nice clothes, and he goes straight outside and plays in the dirt. Or he holds on to the tail of a calf, when the calf runs and he gets dragged. Or being a little upset that Maya put him down to go and take care of some housework, he takes a stone pestle and smashes a whole pot of curd that she was churning to make butter. He sneaks into gopis' homes, pinches their babies and makes them cry. When they've put them to sleep so that the gopis can get some housework done, Krishna will come in and pinch their cheeks while they're sleeping so that they wake up and start crying. And then he'll go in the other room and steal butter while the gopi is looking after what happened to her child. So we heard all these sweet leelas, and the last one we heard was how Shri Krishna decided to crush the pride of Indra, because pride is something that keeps a person away from God. So he decided that I'm going to grace Indra. Tam bhranshayami sampadbhyo yasya chechamyanugraham. Jiske upar main anugraha karta hu, main uska dhan pratishtha samman chin leta hu. The one whom I wish to grace, I take away his status, his wealth, his power. Because these things give a person pride and keep them away from me. Because where there's pride, there's no devotion. The heart has to be humble. So seeing his devotee Indra under the influence of the disease of pride, Shri Krishna decided to teach him a lesson. Really, to grace him and make him realize his mistake. So when all the Brajwasis were going to perform the annual pujan to Lord Indra, Shri Krishna thought, I'll accomplish a few tasks at once. One, I'll remove Indra's pride. Another, I'll teach the people ananyata, that they should be worshipping Supreme God, not a devta. Bhagwan ki pujan karna chahiye. Bhagwan ki puja karni chahiye. Bhagwan ki bhakti karni chahiye. Devtaon ki bhakti nahi karni chahiye. Ye pyanya devata bhakta yajantya vidhi purvakam. Shri Krishna says in the Gita, those ones who worship the devtas in swarg, they do so out of faith, but their faith is not joined with true knowledge. If they had true knowledge, they would worship me. They would worship Supreme God. So we are supposed to worship only Supreme God. Not Indra, Agni, Vayu, Navagraha Devta. All these are devtas under Maya. Their gati, the farthest they can go is the abodes of Swarg, which themselves are under Maya. Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartinorjuna. Mamupetya tu kaunteya punarjanmana vidyate Gita. Shri Krishna says, even up to Brahma's abode is under Maya. It's destroyed during Pralaya. So anyone who goes there is still under Maya. You haven't attained true happiness. You haven't gotten liberated from Maya. You haven't come to me. So although Vedas teach to worship these devtas, but it's only for those who haven't realized the truth that I am the soul. Main atma hoon aur Shri Krishna hi mere hain. The one who has realized that I am the soul and I belong to Shri Krishna no longer has to and no longer should worship all these devi devta. Should become ananya and just worship Shri Krishna. So Shri Krishna taught the Brajwasis. He said, why are you worshipping Indra? Supreme God has come in the form of Govardhan Hill. Let's worship Govardhan Hill. Our cows also are sustained by the beautiful green grass on Govardhan Hill. Let us go do parikrama and pujan of Govardhan Hill and use all that you've prepared to worship Indra instead to worship Govardhan Hill. So they went and did that, and Indra became infuriated because of his pride. He didn't recognize even who Shri Krishna was, his own boss. And he tried to teach him a lesson. He said, I'll teach this little chokra a lesson. Who does he think he is, making everybody not do my pujan? So he made it rain and rain. And Shri Krishna protected everybody by picking up Govardhan Hill. Govardhan is so big that it to do parikrama of Govardhan is 27 kilometers around. It's a lot lower in height today than it was then. Back then it was much, much higher. There's just another story behind that, why it keeps shrinking a little bit every day. But nonetheless, think of that, such a huge hill. And Shri Krishna picked it up. Bhagavatam gives two analogies. One says like a boy would just pick a lotus flower out of the pond. Or in a different place it says like a boy would pick a mushroom. One of those big mushrooms, just pick it up like that. Like that, he picked up the whole mountain and held it on his pinky finger. So eventually Indra realized what was going on and that he was actually facing Supreme God, his master. So he stopped the rain and he came and privately, once Shri Krishna had put Govardhan Hill down and the Brajwasis had returned home, he privately came and met with Shri Krishna and apologized. Shri Krishna graced him and allowed him to continue being Indra, but told him, you do this as seva to me now. You fulfill your role as Indra, not with pride in the power you have, but do it as a seva for me, that I've given you the order to act as Indra. Kamdhenu also came, and with her celestial milk, they did abhishek of Shri Krishna and crowned him the true Indra. But Shri Krishna still let Indra fulfill his duties, acting as Indra. So after all of this, one day the older gopis came to Shri Krishna's father, Nand Baba. There were all different ages of gopis, and there were all different ages of gopis. There were gopis who were the same age as Radha, just little girls growing up. There were older gopis who were married. There were older gopis like the same age as Mother Yashoda or older. Same with the Gwalbals. There were young ones like Shri Krishna's age. There were older ones like the same age as Nanda Baba and even older ones. So some of those older gopis who were very close with Nanda Baba, of course they were all close, they were all one community, they all helped each other, herding the cows and growing food. So they came to him and they said, we have a doubt about your boy. We've seen him do all of these things. And they recounted, as I did for you, all the demons that he had killed, plus lifting Govardhan Hill. And they said, how is it that such a great personality came to be born amongst us common folks? It doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem normal. And then there's the question of, why is our heart so attracted to him? Like, out of control. We just see him and our heart melts for him. And he treats us the same way in return, with such loving affection. Why is it so? Who is he? So Nanda Baba shared a secret with them that he had never told anyone, not even Yashoda Maiya. He had secretly had the naming ceremony, the Namkaran Sanskar, performed by their Kulguru, Gargacharya. He had secretly come and in a quiet place he had named Balram and Krishna. So at that time he had revealed the secret to Nanda Baba that he was not actually born from Yashoda. He appeared before Devaki and Vasudev, and Vasudev brought him here that night and left him. So he will be known in the world as Vasudev. It will be one of his glorious names, the son of Vasudev. And he is none other than Narayan. He is none other than Supreme God himself. He is worshipped by the whole world. He is worshipped by all the rishis, munis, divine personalities. And he's going to live amongst you and he'll be your friend and protector. So he revealed all these divine secrets to Nanda Baba. Nanda Baba now shared that with the older gopes, and they realize now who Shri Krishna was. So there are all different types of devotees of God. Even in Braj, there were some devotees who still had some, you could say, interest in seeing Shri Krishna as Supreme God, recognizing His almightiness. And some devotees have no such interest. The gopis saw all the same things. They never came asking about who He is. They knew who He was, and they forgot who He was. The Gwalbals, Shri Krishna's playmates, they also knew who He was, but they forgot who He was. They didn't want to know who He was. Or in other words, they allowed their love for Shri Krishna to overpower the knowledge of who He was. Because where there is almightiness and where there is the knowledge of this person's greatness, there's fear. Not fear that something bad is going to happen to you, but fear like a fearful respect. A distance comes between you. If you're thinking about the glory and greatness and power of someone, then there's a distance between you and them. And if you forget about that and love them purely as your own, as Mother Yashoda did, even when Shri Krishna showed her the whole universe within Him, He then made her forget that that even happened, because she didn't want to think of Him in that way. She was looking at Him like, oh, my boy is God? And she was trembling. So Shri Krishna had her forget. In this way, the Gwalbals and the Gopis, despite having seen all of these almighty activities of Shri Krishna, which happened periodically throughout the years, they paid no mind to that. They knew on some level, and they were reminded momentarily when such leelas happened, but then they would again forget. Because they were pure Madhurya devotees. They only wanted the sweetness of Shri Krishna's love. Some devotees are pure Aishwarya devotees. They only want to see God in His great divine glory. And some are a mix. They like to see the almighty greatness of God, but also be able to interact with God somewhat. So even in Braj, there was a mix of different devotees like this. Bhaiya, aaiye, there's some chairs here. In the front row here, there's some chairs. I'm just explaining this because you might have heard that in Braj, Shri Krishna is only revealing divine love, and for the most part that's true. But here and there He did almighty leelas, and there were some devotees like these older gopis who actually did want to recognize in some way Shri Krishna's greatness. And so it happened that one night on Ekadashi, Nanda Baba was finishing up his fasting, and to break the fast, he had to go and bathe in Yamunaji. But it was the night. So he bathed in Yamunaji at night. And at that time, one of Varun's servants — Varun is the god of water, he's very wealthy and powerful, and he has many servants — so one of his servants ignorantly grabbed a hold of Nanda Baba, not knowing this is the father of Supreme God, Shri Krishna. Had no idea what he was getting himself into. So he grabbed a hold of Nanda Baba and took him under the water and brought him to Varun. So the other gopis came running and told Shri Krishna that one of Varun's servants has grabbed a hold of your father. Save him, save him. He's gone. We can't find him. So Shri Krishna went directly to Varunalaya, the abode of the Devta Varun. And when Varunji saw Shri Krishna coming, and Nanda Baba was there. Shri Krishna went directly there, saw his father. As soon as Shri Krishna appeared, Varun fell at his feet and first begged forgiveness, saying that my servant was ignorant. He made a mistake taking your father, so please be merciful to us. And he praised Shri Krishna, and all the inhabitants of Varun's abode were praising Shri Krishna as Supreme God and treating him with such reverence. So Nanda Baba had never witnessed this. He knew on some level who his son was, but he had never witnessed him actually being honored by all as Supreme God. So when Shri Krishna brought him back, he went back to those gopis again and he told them, oh, listen, this happened. And when I was under there, they were all calling him Bhagwan and they were all worshipping him. So then those gopis had a desire in their heart that I wonder if he's ever going to reveal his almighty divine abode to us. We want to see him like that. They were already God-realized saints, so whatever they desire, Shri Krishna could instantly give them. So Shri Krishna fulfilled their desire, and first he drew them into what we call Brahmadrav. Brahmadrav is where those souls go who get liberated. They've attained Shri Krishna, but his formless form. So they go to Shri Krishna, but they don't see him. You can say they merge into his divine light, or they merge into the ocean of formless divine peace. Those gopis entered into that state. And after that, they passed through that and into Vaikunth abode of Shri Krishna, where Shri Krishna is there as Mahavishnu with four arms in all his almighty glory. So they got to have the divine vision of Shri Krishna as supreme almighty God in Vaikunth abode. And they saw, oh, Vedas are here in personal form doing stuti of Shri Krishna, and they just got to admire his almightiness. So this is described here in the Bhagavatam. After this, Shri Krishna turned 8 years old. He was 7 when he did the Govardhan Leela. And he was 8 years old. There were many gopis who had come to Braj, who were first-time gopis, you could say. There were many, many gopis who were descended from divine Vrindavan. In divine Vrindavan, there's zero almightiness, only pure Madhurya. And many of those eternal gopis had come here on earth. But there were also many saints who had attained Shri Krishna in other forms, who were other classes of saints, who came as gopis for the first time with the desire to experience Shri Krishna's Madhurya Ras, the pure, loving essence of bliss. Some of them were sages of Dandak forest, who were devotees of Bhagwan Ram and met Bhagwan Ram. They had his divine vision. Ram had come to Sharbhanga Ashram and they had his divine vision. and they desired to experience that Madhuri Ras, but they couldn't, because Ram said, in this form, I don't give that type of bliss. So you can come later when I come as Shri Krishna, you can come as gopis. There were some who were the friends and servants of Sitaji in Mithila, in Janakpur, who had a desire to experience that Madhuri Ras. They were also born as gopis. Some were Richas of the Vedas in personal form, who took avatar and in the form of gopis. And although from outside they looked like ordinary villagers, at that time none of them were educated. They lived a simple family life, and yet these were great saints who had come in the form of gopis because they wanted to experience this exciting and ultimate bliss of the divine world. There are many different types of bliss. Leaving aside the material types of happiness, even in the divine world, you have that bliss of formless God. That's also unlimited, and yet unlimited times greater than that is the bliss of Vaikunth abode, where Shri Krishna is in his almighty form, and yet unlimited times greater than that is the bliss of Shri Krishna when he's in his loving form. And even within that, there are different classes, like you can love Shri Krishna as your master, but the bliss of loving him as your friend is even sweeter than that. And the bliss of loving him as your son is even sweeter than that. And the bliss of loving him as your beloved is the sweetest of all and includes all the other types of bliss. And the ultimate form of this bliss is given by Radha Krishna in a lila called Ras, the Ras lila. Ras is defined like this. Rasanam samuha rasa. Just like God is said to be raso vaisaha, he is ras. Ras means the nectar of divine love, the essence of divine bliss. That is Shri Krishna, and he gives so many different kinds of that ras, like mango ras. There are so many different kinds of mangoes. Mix it with this fruit, mix it with that fruit, add more sugar. So there are so many different ways to enjoy ras in this world. In the divine world, there are unlimited types of ras. There's ras of meeting Shri Krishna, ras of being separated from Shri Krishna, milan and viraha, ras of man lila when Shri Radha does man, ras of pranay when she and Shri Krishna make up. So many different kinds of ras. There's dasya ras, sakhya ras, vatsalya ras, madhurya ras. So rasanam samuha, the total accumulation, put all those different types of ras that are experienced in all the different lilas and all the different ways of loving God, put it all together. That is the experience of ras. So that sarvoccha ras, that supreme bliss of the divine world, is given in the ras lila by Radha and Krishna. When Shri Krishna was 8 years old, he did the Maharas Leela. Ras Leela happened many times. But in Ras Leela, there's a limited number of gopis who participate. In Maharas Leela, the number of gopis is actually unlimited. It happens in Vrindavan. And although Radha Krishna and the gopis are, their feet are touching the physical earth, but the space is made divine with the grace of Radharani, with the power of Yogamaya. The space is made divine so that in a limited area of Vrindavan, unlimited gopis take part in Maharas. Not only the ones who had taken avatar and took part in all the leelas leading up to this, but all the unlimited gopis from the divine world came as well. And they all took part in this Maharas leela. What happens in Maharas? And why is it said to be the very heart and soul of the Bhagavatam, this description of Maharas? We'll hear about that tomorrow. Bolo Shama Shyam ki jai.